The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. You're listening to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us under the topic of Palestine. Today, Thursday, is the 15th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. corresponding to the 6th of Hordad, 1400 of the Islamic solar calendar, and the 27th of May, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 254.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون.
O you who have believed, spend from that which we have provided for you before there comes a day in which there is no exchange and no friendship and no intercession. And the disbelievers, they are the wrongdoers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse is rendered as a warning to the believers, telling them to give alms and not to lose the respite they have in this life. They are recommended to provide some fitting provisions, thereby for their certain journey, the next life, the hereafter. On the resurrection day, there will be neither any bargain to buy the means of felicity nor any friend to make their infidelity invalid. They are deprived from intercession in that world because they were the cause of deprivation for others in this world.
سَنَأْتِي إِلَيْكَ نَشُدُّ الرِّحَالَ وَيَعْلُو الْأَذَانُ أَذَانُ بِلَالٍ سَنَأْتِي بِبَأْسٍ لِأَهْلِ الْخَنَا وَنَشْفِي الصُّدُورَ بِوَأْدِ الضَّلَالِ وَنَشْفِي الصُّدُورَ بِوَأْدِ الضَّلَالِ
سَنَأْتِي إِلَيْكَ نَشُدُّ الرِّحَالَ وَيَعْلُو الْأَذَانُ أَذَانُ بِلَالٍ سَنَأْتِي بِبَأْسٍ لِأَهْلِ الْخَنَا ونشفي الصدور بوأد الضلال ونشفي الصدور بوأد الضلال.
As long as Palestine remains oppressed, the world is devoid of justice. Israel and the U.S. portraying themselves as the protectors of democracy and human rights are trying to occupy the region in line with their own interests on the grounds that they will protect Palestine and Palestinian people, and they constantly apply tyranny to the people of the region. On the other hand, the Palestinians continue to struggle against the pressure and sanctions. Palestine's struggle is an example to the world.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. Why is Palestine so important for Muslims? Zionists, they believe that by means of inviting people to come to negotiations and also by capturing some places, I mean, apparently for agricultural purposes, they will be able to make an autonomous government of their own. But in reality, this is just the beginning of capturing the whole land. I mean, piece by piece, they buy, lands, pieces of land from here and there. And at the same time, they extended the territory. For example, as early as 1914, the Jews comprised only 8% of the people of Palestine, and they had only 2.5% of the lands of Palestinians. However, later on, with the migration of other Zionists, from other places, mainly from European countries to Palestine, they extended their territory over there. Even at the same time, even in Palestine, there's some sort of discrimination over there. Zionists favor European Jews over non-European races or non-European Jews. For example, if there are, for example, the Arab Jews and European Jews, they give preference to European Jews. And because of this, it has long been, I mean, the regime of the occupied Palestine has long been part of the European Union because of this, because in over there, they prefer only Europeans. And they have more affinity with Europeans and with European I mean, powers. In Iran, we find that late martyr Murtaza Motahhari indicated it, I mean, long before the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, that such people like Moshe Dayan, Golda Meir, Zil Yeshkol, and others, they migrated from here and there to Palestine and occupied over there.
I will not fall, but I'm forgotten. I'm standing tall, I feel abandoned. Stand elevated, blessed by the prophets, led by the greatest, and peace it was promised. Can you hear my cry? Can you feel my hurt? One day the sun will rise over this land.
Defending Palestine is a must for all Muslims. The enemies of the world of Islam have always tried to make maximum use of denominational, tribal, geographical, and regional differences, and today they are using modern instruments to fulfill their purpose. We should pay attention to this, and we should be awakened. They want to busy us with one another so that they can distract our attention from the main point. They want to pit Muslim ethnicities, nations, and denominations, including Shia, Sunni, and other Islamic denominations against one another, so that the issue of Israel will be forgotten. The issue of occupying Palestine should have made us get close to one another, but they are using it to make us drift away from one another. They create discord in the world of Islam and pit governments against one another by using the issue of Palestine. The issue of Palestine is a clear issue. This is no Islamic denomination that has any doubts about the fact that jihad is wajib, obligation for Muslims whenever an Islamic land is under attack. All Islamic denominations share this belief, and there is no ground for disagreement on this matter. However, the enemies cast doubt on this matter, which all Muslims believe in. They create division among Muslims, they provoke denominational and tribal prejudice, and they fuel its fire so that they can freely pursue their goals.
Ya Aqsa, hubuka fi qalbi, samihni ya Aqsa, aynaka tabki, fa inni huna adru.
Ways to support Palestinians. Social media. While making sure not to co-opt Palestinian struggles and conflate them with other global movements, social media is a powerful tool nevertheless. It can be used to amplify the voices and posts of Palestinian activists and journalists on the ground. They risk their lives to shoot photos and videos to share with the rest of the world. This places them as targets for Israeli soldiers and settlers. By sharing their posts, it allows a greater reach and for more people to understand what is happening on the ground. Many news organizations around the world have framed what is happening in Palestine as clashes between Palestinians and the Israeli police. Through reports on the ground, a clearer picture emerges of what is actually happening.
Dua and dhikr and charity and helping out in whatever way, that spirituality, feeling a part of the ummah, that spirituality, insha'Allah ta'ala, will be our salvation on the Day of Judgment. Do not trivialize dua. If the least that the dua will accomplish is that it will soften our hearts, it has accomplished enough. And Allah knows, maybe a dua from a righteous amongst us might be accepted. As well, dear Muslims, I want every one of us to educate himself or herself about the political realities of Palestine, so that you can challenge the narrative in your own circle of friends, in your own acquaintances. I want every one of you to become an ambassador for this cause, because it is an Islamic cause. Do not allow any of your friends or acquaintances to say something that is incorrect. Become a beacon of information. If all of us did this, then the narrative will change. Every one of you has friends in your own circle, your colleagues at work. Every one of you has people that follow you on Facebook that have the opposite news, that have the incorrect understanding. Perhaps you can be the one whom Allah uses to change one person's narrative and gain one ally and support. Be proactive and be wise and know your facts, know your figures, and that requires you to study as well. Also, brothers and sisters, now is also the time to monitor our own elected officials and others in our community who are allying with the wrong side. And of course, it's true our quantities are small, but in some areas we can have clout and influence. And eventually, inshallah, Ta'ala, we will have the numbers to have a change. We cannot sit by silently when our own elected officials make such statements. Challenge them, tweet at them, write to them. And if there's alternative candidates in the next election, the least we can do is to make this one of the key issues that we judge the validity of a candidate by. What is a person's stance on Palestine? What is a person's stance on Israel? That should be one of the key issues that we look at every time somebody runs for public office.
Inshallah, we continue this topic till another episode of today's special, Fi Amanillah.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Food for thought.
Hello dear listeners, and congratulations on the anniversary of the day on which Islam and Muslims were saved from a catastrophe in the year 3 AH at Uhud near Medina, thanks to the valour of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the cousin of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. And here is what the Archangel Gabriel chanted whilst giving the Prophet the heavenly sword, Zulfaqar, as a gift for Imam Ali, peace be upon him, whose sword was broken in the encounter with the infidels, and he had picked up a rod to defend the Prophet from the attacks of the Arab infidels. No youth is braver than Ali, and no sword sharper than Zulfaqar.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, on the Aql and Jahl, and on the armies, as the Imam says, the simile that he uses, that the components and the traits that form these two important
division in terms of individual, that a person is either this or that. But as we will come to see at the end of the tradition, inshallah, that this is a very, you know, gray area. And we'll come to that hopefully, inshallah. But in this segment, the Imam mentions something extremely, you know, worthy of contemplation. And it's something that, you know, different possible explanations can be given. The Imam mentions al-ghana, that this wealth, ghina, being wealthy, having property, is a sign of a person of intellect, or rather is a component of the intellect, and faqr, or poverty, is part of, you know, jahal, or foolishness, or ignorance. A person may ask themselves that, well, what is wrong here? Sulaiman alayhi salam was wealthy. Other prophets were poverty stricken, had so many mishaps. You know, well, what is the relationship here? So one possible explanation that some scholars give is that, no, it is not the actual trait or the actual wealth that is, you know, intellect, or poverty that is jahal, but rather what these two things can lead to. For example, if a person is financially secure, it is less likely that he will seek illicit and, you know, illegal means in order to fulfill his daily bread, for example. Or he's more, you know, content in what he does, and he will perform his duties in a more, you know, solemn way. In contrast to the person who is poverty stricken. This is not always the case as well. It must be important here. So therefore we see that this is not ideal. This explanation of some scholars may not be a good one, because there are obviously exceptions to it in many places. So one possible explanation that can also be given is that wealth here is not that a person is physically, his wealth is that person who understands that he is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything he has is from Allah. He sees himself as wealthy because he sees everything as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is wealth. And that person who is in poverty is that person who does not see this. He goes the other way and does not see. And therefore, however much he has, he will always be in poverty. And we see this from other traditions as well of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. That no matter how much wealth you have, if you're not content with what you have, you will always be in poverty. So this is another, a better explanation of what the Imam alayhi salam means here, of where you see the source of that wealth and the source of that poverty. This is important. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the wealthiest of individuals by truly understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful.
May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Now, dear audience, the first part and recitation of verses 22 to 26 of Surah Al-Qaf, recited by Brother Abbas Hashemi. Dear audience, let's listen to it, preceded by its English translation.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful, and the horn will be blown. That will be the day whereof warning had been given, and every person will come forth along with one to drive and one to bear witness. Indeed, you were heedless of this. Now we have removed your covering, and sharp is your sight this day. And his companion will say, Here is this record ready with me. Both of you throw into hell every stubborn disbeliever, hinderer of good, transgressor, doubter, who set up another god with Allah, then cast him in the severe punishment.
لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد وقال قرينه هذا ما لدي عتيد ألقيا في جهنم كل كفار عنيد مناع للخير معتد مريب الذي جعل مع الله إلها آخر فألقياه في العذاب الشديد صدق الله العلي العظيم
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 22 to 26 of Surah Al-Qaf, recited by outstanding Iranian reciter, Brother Abbas Hashemi. And our Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This was a very good recitation by Brother Abbas Hashemi, who has won one of the international Quran competitions, which was held in Iran. Actually, before that, he won the national Quran recitation competition
in Iran again.
In Iran, and when you do so, most of the time they select that person who has won the national competition as Iran's representative at the international Quran recitation competition,
which is held again in Iran.
Which is held in Iran, yes. And reciters from other countries, the top reciters from other countries, are also invited to participate in this contest. So the reason that I'm saying this is that reciters who are able to win the competitions and, you know, place first,
they're at the international level.
Yeah, at both the national and international level. It shows that they have done a lot of hard work to reach this stage. That is, they have practiced very much on their tajweed, on their voice control, breath control, using the maqamat correctly and beautifully. These are all factors that makes a reciter able to win the competition. So it shows that Brother Abbas Hashemi, he is a very qualified reciter, and we see that he has very good tajweed, and also his use of maqamat is very well. He has a good voice. We have verse 22 of Surah Qaf. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ. In the first phrase, we have لَقَدْ. لَقَدْ.
It is two words, actually.
Yeah, they're two words. لَ is one word. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a letter, one letter, it's still considered as a word. Because in Arabic, sometimes one word is just one letter, such as wa, such as fa.
And the name of the surah, Qaf.
Yeah, that's right. Because Qaf is the letter Qaf, because this verse begins with the Harf al-Muqatta'a, the Huruf al-Muqatta'a, the Qaf.
And I think Qi by itself means protect.
Yeah,
as an imperative verb.
Yes, it means keep us, safeguard us from something.
Yeah, when we say Qina
adhab an-nar. Yeah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار.
وقنا عذاب
النار. Yeah. So protect us from the fire of hell. So we could see that basically in Arabic some words are just one letter. So لقد is a phrase, and I wanted to say that in this phrase we have a letter of استفال at the beginning, followed by a letter of استعلاء. So istifal means that you have to pronounce the letter with tarqiq,
thinness.
While isti'la means that you have to pronounce the letter with thickness, with tafkhin, with heaviness.
With a full mouth, practically.
Yeah. When pronouncing a letter of tarqiq, the mouth opens horizontally,
mm-hmm.
especially when pronouncing fatha and alif ul-mad. But when you pronounce a letter of isti'la with fatha or alif ul-mad, the mouth opens vertically. Just by this, we could use this to pronounce this phrase, to read this phrase correctly. We open the mouth horizontally when pronouncing le, and vertically when pronouncing qa.
La qad.
And the dal also has tarqiq. So we have to make sure that the dal is also pronounced with tarqiq and not tafkhin. Kunta. We have
a nun sakina.
We have ikhfa of nun sakina, which means that the nun sakina is not pronounced from its place of articulation. Okay, so it's said that the nun sakina is pronounced partially. However,
This doesn't mean that we still have the place of reticulation of nun. We don't have the place of reticulation of nun. We totally get rid of it. Instead, we have to approximate the place of reticulation of the letter that's after the nun sakina. Approximation means making the articulator that is used for pronouncing that letter which is after the nun sakina to get really close to the place of articulation of that letter without touching the place of articulation.
Keep it there.
Yeah. Kunte. And then you apply nasalization for two vowel counts. And the result is that you could guess what letter comes next because you're hinting actually the next letter. Kunte. For example,
approximation actually.
Insha'Allah. Insha'Allah. See, just by the ikhfa, you can predict that the next letter is a sheen.
Yes.
Or anfal, you could predict that it's, but not always, okay? Because sometimes a letter might have the same place of articulation as another letter, so it could
be
either.
Two letters might have the same.
Yeah, for example, fa and val, they have the same place of articulation. So when ikhfa takes place with fa or dal after nun sakina,
it is as
you
a hint,
tell,
actually.
You could tell that it's one of these two letters. Okay.
Thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inshallah, today we talk about the necessity of tadabbur, reflection and contemplation when you read the Quran. We have in our hadith great emphasis on tadabbur. To the extent that Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam is quoted as saying, Allah لا خير في قراءة ليس فيها تدبر. There is no benefit in recitation which is free, which lacks reflection and pondering. If we just read without paying attention to the meaning, without respecting the ideas and concepts, then this is not beneficial. Ala la khayra fi ibadatin laysa fiha tafaqquh. In the same way, there is no benefit in performing acts of worship without understanding. I'm not saying that it's 100% useless, but it means that the benefit that you want to achieve, that is not achieved. So if someone prays without understanding, it becomes like a just routine performance. You don't know why you are doing this. You don't understand what you are saying. This is not that much beneficial. In the same way, reading the book without reflection. For example, you know, if you go to exam in university, in schools, they don't give you mark based on how many times you read the book. They give you mark based on how much you understood. So, you know, I read this 100 times. Every day I finish one whole book. How much you understood, and you cannot understand without pondering on the words.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir, and don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
If you ask me why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me proudly I would say I am a Muslim If you ask her why does she dress that way all covered up in a world that gives it all away proudly she would say I am a Muslim
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray five times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jalad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Today, we're going to be talking about Islamic laws about usury according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Before dealing with these questions, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
So, since we are talking about usury related Islamic laws, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, and the last program that we started off these series of talks or programs and episodes on the usury or riba, you talked about some of the Quranic verses as well as narrations from the infallibles. Denouncing, in fact, about usury. And let me ask you this question at the beginning of this episode about the limitation or the limits of riba. Is it limited or confined to loans only?
Well, riba can arise from selling and buying, and in the same way it may arise from a loan, okay? So as I mentioned in the previous episode, we have two kinds of riba. Riba in loan, or we can say riba in loan contract, and then riba in exchange or maybe sale contract. So these are the two types of riba. Riba arising from a sale transaction is to sell an item normally sold by, of course, weight or volume, you see, or measurement. So this is riba in sale transaction. For example, if I sell you a kilo of wheat for 2 kilos, or let's say 1 kilo and 200 grams of wheat, okay, mm-hmm. or 1 kilo and 200 grams of barley. Of course, yes. It is the addition, the surplus is haram. This mm-hmm. is usually riba in, this is riba in sale
pure
and exchange.
Simple,
okay,
yes.
Now if we exchange two homogeneous mm-hmm. commodity, things which are of the same category, mm-hmm. like let's say 1 kilo of potato for 1 kilo and a half potato, it's haram, okay? 1 kilo of rice against 2 kilos of rice, it is haram. Even if...
But rice for wheat is not haram,
yeah,
for example.
Of course,
that's
because
a different story.
They are different because they are from two different categories, okay? They are two different commodities. And as long as two things are considered to be of the same category, of the same genre, they are, it's not permissible to take any mm-hmm. addition, okay? And, or it's not permissible to take any increase. So this is one kind of riba, an increase in sale or exchange. Another kind of riba is the usury in loans mm-hmm. or in a loan contract. To give an amount of money to someone and then stipulate in the contract, because giving loan is a kind of contract, okay?
Yes.
Someone asks you to give him some money mm-hmm. and then you accept. There is offer and acceptance. So there is ijab and qabul, okay, offer and acceptance. And when you accept to give, and then you stipulate in the contract that you will require that you will receive back an extra amount in addition to the principal amount that you gave, mm-hmm. then that addition is absolutely forbidden. And it's, of course, as I mentioned, there are verses and traditions which explicitly forbidden, which explicitly forbid receiving that increase or addition additional amount.
Okay, you've been talking about placing a condition, in fact.
Yes.
And that condition requires a kind of interest, right?
Yes.
That you put, for example, on the money given as a loan from the creditor to the debtor.
Debtor, yes.
All right?
Yes.
But imagine that, you know, I give somebody some money, all right?
Yeah.
A piece of loan or something, but without placing the condition for the interest.
Yeah.
All right?
Yes.
Here, the debtor, in returning or when returning the money, places or puts something as a gift, as an extra amount,
yes,
in addition to the original capital that I gave him,
yeah,
or her, right?
Yeah.
Well, can I take the gift here because it's something extra to the original amount?
You're right. Yeah.
But I didn't place the condition.
You're right, and I got you. Of course, the Quran also refers to the same example that you gave. It says it is better to give something, an extra to the person who, to the creditor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Someone gives you some money and then you give him something, an addition to the principal amount or to the loan you had received. This is recommended, okay,
mm-hmm,
as a sign of, let's say, as a kind of compensation for the kindness, for the kind action. It is recommended according to the Quran to repay his loan with something in addition to the loan.
Yes,
to show your
gratitude.
Yeah, gratitude. And to compensate his act of kindness.
Exactly.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
The other question that I wanted to ask you here in this episode was that does riba or usury apply to everything that is weighed or measured?
Well, I think this question needs to be explained because we didn't unfortunately explain this question in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I should say that when things are exchanged or sold against each other, okay,
right,
in a sale transaction,
mm-hmm,
riba applies to things which are either weighed,
mm-hmm,
or measured, sold and volumes. Okay,
mm-hmm,
for example, you sell wheat or barley in kilos,
mm-hmm,
okay,
yes,
or in bags of 10 kilos or in bags of 20 kilos or 25 kilos, okay, and we have also bags of 40 kilos, okay. So riba applies to things which are either weighed or measured when it comes to transaction, a sale transaction, or when it comes to exchange. For example, if you sell one bag of 10 kilos against one bag of 10 kilos let's say one bag which consists of 10 kilos or maybe 11 kilos,
mm-hmm,
it is forbidden irrespective of whether the sold bag of wheat or flour or wheat or barley is of inferior quality or superior quality. Okay, let's say for example you sell 5 kilos of wheat which is of superior quality,
mm-hmm,